Exodus chapter 20. Chris is going to read the Ten Commandments for us.
And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children and sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold you anyone guilty who misuses his name. You made the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honour your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbour. You shall not covet your neighbour's house. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour.
Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray. Father, the third commandment tells us not to misuse your name. Would your word to us today reveal much more of what that means? We ask that we would be cut to the heart if we misuse your name. Change us to be more like the Lord Jesus. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. Let me read the third commandment again, verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. I wonder if you've ever been in a car. You're driving along, there's a little notice on the lorry in front. It says, how's my driving? You ever seen that? Yeah, a few people have seen that. Okay, now imagine you're out driving and the lorry zooms past you, breaks every speed limit on the road. You think, well, I don't think much of his driving. Or you come then to a set of traffic lights and there's a local school that's just come out, group of young girls walk across, the lorry driver winds the windows down, he's whistling, he's shouting at the girls. You think, the lights change, and a car overtakes the lorry going down the road. And as the car overtakes him, he's blasting the horn, windows down, sticking his fingers up, shouting at the guy. How's my driving? Well, you take a note of the number, you phone it up to report this guy, you're one of them people. And it turns out it's the John Lewis hotline you've just phoned. And of course, the person that you're speaking to is outraged that the good name of the company has been dragged through the mud. Or maybe you remember from school, I wonder if heads and deputy heads still give that talk. What is it they used to say? Even when you're not in school property, you're still representing the school. You remember that talk? Yes, especially if you're wearing a school jumper and a group of your mates are destroying a bus shelter down the road. Or what do people think about when they think of your name? Because your name conjures up lots of thoughts and feelings in other people's minds. Whether your name produces a smile or tears or good memories or bad ones, all sorts of thoughts your name will conjure up in people's heads, because your name is linked to your reputation. And I wonder if you're a Christian this morning, if when people think of your name, one of the first things that they think about is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we consider ourselves to be one of his people, someone that he died to forgive and has been raised again, I wonder if you realize that you carry his name. You've been brought into his family. In a place called Antioch, followers of Jesus were first called Christians, name bearers, name carriers, if you like. And just as the lorry driver represented that company, or you represented that school, how are you doing representing the name of the Lord Jesus? Spiritually speaking, how's my driving? And that's the question I think that the third commandment, certainly one of them, is driving us towards. When people look at our lives, look at us, what do they make of the name that we claim to bear? If someone were to call the heavenly hotline somehow, what would they say about how we represent the company? Would they say, this person treasures the name of the Lord Jesus? Or am I dragging the name through the mud? The third commandment says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. It's much deeper than whether or not you say OMG. Now that is involved. But I hope we see that it is much more than just using God's name as a cuss word. Because we can think that, well, I don't do that, so this must not apply to me. No, it does. But before we get to the application of what this verse means, this commandment, I want us to see, first of all, why the name of the Lord is really important in the Bible. Okay? Here's the first thing I want us to get this morning. God is a name, and it's important. Back in Exodus 3, Moses had already been to Mount Sinai before. God had spoke to him at the burning bush. That's at the same place this is taking place. And God had said to Moses, you're going to go to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and tell him to let my people go. And Moses says, well, when I go to your people, who am I going to say has sent me to them? It's as if he's saying, God, what's your name? And God says, here's my name. I am who I am. Now you read that and you think, well, that's a bit weird. But God says his name is not Bob or Rebecca. He says, my name is I Am. We talked about this a few weeks ago. When you see that word in your Bible, like in verse 7, Lord, in capital letters, that's the I Am name. You might have heard before Yahweh, that's that name, or Jehovah, that's that name. It all comes from that. It's God's personal name. And when you delve a little bit deeper through the story of the Bible, you start to see that the name is inseparable. It's all tied up with who God is and what God is like. It's more than just a title. It declares to us God's character, the way that he works. That Lord there in capital letters means that God is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're told that that name shows us that God is slow to anger, abounding in love, great in mercy. Now, I just had a little look through the Bible this week at some of the times the name of the Lord appears. In Exodus 33, Moses says, God, I want to see your glory. And God's goodness passes in front of Moses. And whatever he sees, and we're not really told exactly what he sees, but his goodness passes in front of Moses. And at the same time, God says his name in Moses' ear. As if his glory and his majesty and his name are all bound up together. And through the Bible, the name of God, the name of the Lord, pretty much stands for God himself. The Old Testament priests minister in the name of the Lord. David fights Goliath in the name of the Lord. The temple is built for the name of the Lord. People are blessed in the name of the Lord. Offerings are made in the name of the Lord. His people are to worship his name and give the glory due to his name. In Psalms, the Lord's name is majestic in all the earth. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but what are God's people to believe in, trust in? The name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, whose name is to be praised in all the earth? The Lord's name. Back to Exodus 20. God's people are his rescued, brought out people. We've said that time and again over these past few weeks. How they treat and represent his name often shows how they feel about him. And added to that, how they treat and represent his name. Well, it's a big deal because they are to show the world what he is like. They're his people. How's their driving? And you go through the story of the Old Testament and you see that their driving's not very good because they misrepresent and they misuse God's name again and again, just as all of us do. To misuse the name of the Lord is to sin against God. When you come to the New Testament, this is amazing, okay? You come to John's Gospel especially. Who do you think frequently uses the term "I am" to describe himself? Sunday school answer? Jesus. You might know some of them. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. The enemies of the Lord Jesus come to him and accuse him of blasphemy. It's like they're saying, Jesus, you can't go around just saying "I am" all the time. Only God can use that term. And he goes, yep. In John 17, the night before he's crucified, the Lord Jesus prays to his Father and says, I've revealed your name to those you have given me. Jesus reveals God's name perfectly. He reveals what it is to carry the name of the Lord because he is the Lord. No one ever looked at him and saw the misuse of the name of the Lord. He treasured that name. He was guiltless in that regard. Can I tell you one of my favorite stories in the New Testament? It's just a brief little story. In John 18, Jesus is about to be arrested. John 18, verses 5 and 6. Look it up later. Brilliant. And a crowd come to arrest Jesus. And Jesus walks up to them and says, who are you looking for? And they say, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Is that you? How do you think he answers? I am. He says it twice. I am. And then John records that the crowd drew back and fell down. Why? Because God was there. The Lord. And just a few hours later, the one who owns the name of the Lord was crucified. Was there ever a worse misuse of that name? We're told, though, that at the cross he bore our misuse of his name so that as I and anyone else believes, we can be forgiven for not treasuring that name. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And what are his apostles, his disciples go around preaching from that day forward? Well, they say stuff like this. Repent, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And they say things like, there's no other name under heaven by which people must be saved. The apostles drive out demons. Guess whose name they do it in? Brilliant. They prayed and we pray in whose name? Jesus. When Saul gets converted in Acts 9, he goes from hating the name of the Lord Jesus But as he becomes a follower, listen to what Jesus says. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. And Paul a little bit later writes, the Lord Jesus has been given the name that is above every other name. They're at the name of Jesus. Every knee must bow. In heaven and earth and under the earth. Now, I know some of you have glazed over by that already, but I hope you're getting to understand that this idea of the name of God is really important. It's big in the Bible. It's bound up with who he is and what he does. I'm going to give you some bad examples of the kind of thing that I mean, because they're all I can give to help us to try and get our head around this. To me and others of a certain generation, beans means yes, and Heinz means beans. Okay? So when I think of beans, there's only one thing I think of, that wee tin of Heinz beans. When I see a big yellow M at the side of the road, I don't think I could go a hamburger right now. I say, I fancy a McDonald's. And you know, you get chips and milkshakes and burgers and nuggets and all sorts of things. If I need a new bookcase, I don't say, I better go to the bookcase shop. What do we think of? IKEA. Don't we? I'm sure there are other furniture stores, but that's what comes to mind. The name and what they do is all wrapped up together. God is a name and it's important. And we, his people, carry his name. Having been saved by the Lord Jesus for our failure to use his name properly, the Holy Spirit is given to us in Jesus' name, John says, to live in us. We've joined a new family, a different family. We've been adopted. In fact, in some countries around the world, when someone becomes a Christian, they actually take on a Christian name to make them stand out a bit. It's different from what happened before. And these commands, like the third commandment, show us what it's like to live for God now. Third commandment again, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. So what's it telling us with all that kind of background going on? I hope you're still with me. Treasure the name. Don't misuse it. Treasure it. I like this shirt that I'm wearing, okay? Especially after Scotland have won. But I like this shirt. It was given to me as a present by Tricia. Now imagine I had a runny nose and I just ripped a sleeve off, blew my nose and chucked it down. And then after the service, everyone's gone home. I noticed the toilets are a bit dirty. So I'd rip off the other sleeve and wipe the bog with it. What does that say about my gift and the person who gave it? When we've been given a gift by someone we love, we know to treasure it and honor it and respect it. The word misuse in verse 7 means to empty something of value, to treat as worthless. You start to see that this is much deeper than whether or not we say, oh my God, or not. It's whether our lives are showing that we treasure the Lord Jesus. Now, if you do use his name as a swear word, then stop it. Okay? That is a misuse. Stop it. It's treating his name like something you'd wipe the bog with or blow your nose with. You need to ask for forgiveness and ask for his help to change. It may not stop overnight, but he will help you to stop and gain control of your tongue. And he doesn't want you to use his name like a toilet brush. What does it show our world if we are those who say OMG or whatever? That God's at fault? That he's to blame? What should come out of my mouth? Praise. Thanks. There's no better subject, I've said this lots before, that I can speak about than the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no better subject you can speak to me about than the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a swear word. If that's our tongues, what about our lives? Now imagine, you're walking down the road, you trip, you fall. The shopping goes everywhere, all over the pavement. Okay, a kid with a school jumper comes down the road. He's just laughing at you. Ah, ha, ha, you tripped and fell. Okay, sees your box of eggs, stamps on them, grabs one, cracks one over your head, and then walks off, skipping down the road. What do you think about that school? Now imagine you fall, you trip, shopping goes everywhere. Kid with a school jumper walks down and helps you up. Are you okay? Do I need to phone an ambulance? Is there anyone I can call to help? Helps gather up your shopping, helps you home. What are you going to think about that school? A bit better. We can show whether or not we follow the Lord Jesus. We can show whether Jesus is great in our lives or rubbish, often by how we treat people. If we are cruel or angry or liars, or people who hold grudges, what does that say about the Lord Jesus? That he's rubbish. That's a misuse of his name. But if we are those who trust and believe that the Lord Jesus loves us and gave his life for us while we were still sinners, and rose again, and we've got eternal life in him, if that is going to be important to us, then our lives will show that we want to honor the Lord Jesus, that we want to treasure his name, that we want to be kind because God has shown us kindness and we want to be kind to others. God has shown us patience, so we want to be patient with others. God has been quick to forgive us so that we would be quick to forgive others. God speaks the truth to us so that we would speak the truth to others. God loves his enemies, and he wants us to be quick to forgive and love our enemies. We treasure the name of Jesus when we live for Jesus in the power of his Spirit. We misuse his name when we sin and don't care. And if we don't think this matters, look how the command ends. The Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. So we've got to ask ourselves frequently, spiritually, how's my driving? How's my driving? Is there anything in my life that would cause either me or someone to say, I am misusing the name of the Lord Jesus? And if I'm a Christian, I don't care about this. The warning here is that on the day of judgment, we might get a surprise. Can I also say it means that you can't do nothing with the name of Jesus either. If you're here this morning and you don't consider yourself a Christian, a misuse of the name of the Lord is to hear what I've said and then just to forget about it altogether, do nothing with it. In the New Testament, we're told again and again that we've got to call on the name of the Lord and be saved. That's what we've got to do with the name. Call on it and be saved. Be rescued from our sins. And as we call in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, Lord Jesus, I have misused your name. I have not represented your name. I thought nothing of your name. I thought it was even lower than something I'd clean the toilet with. And we say, please forgive me as we call out. Everything will be forgiven. Because he is mighty to save. And if we refuse to call on the name of Jesus, well, the warning is that we'll face hell when we die. But for those adopted into the family, given a new name, peace, eternal life. You know, in Revelation 22, how God's people, Christians, in heaven, do you know what's going to be stamped on our foreheads? The name of Jesus. Now, some of you are thinking, I don't want anything stamped on my forehead. And others are thinking, well, I've got a big forehead. It's a mark of ownership that nothing can drive us away from that place. To have the name of the Lord Jesus stamped on us is a great privilege. Don't misuse that name. Treasure it. Two more brief, specific ways we can treasure the name of the Lord Jesus. I've mentioned this before, but especially as Christians, we treasure the name by calling on it often. Often in the middle of the night, when one of our boys is scared or he's had a bad dream or whatever, who do they call out for? Usually mummy, yeah, I have to be honest. Daddy might not hear very much, but mum or dad. Why? Because that name usually means help, comfort, love, care. The right way to use the name of the Lord Jesus is like that. So when we're anxious or scared, when we don't know what to do, when people are unkind, when we follow the Lord Jesus, when we give thanks, if I don't call on the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm not using his name properly. As Christians, his name is to be called upon. It's how we become Christians. It's how we continue as Christians. To not call upon him is to use his name, to misuse his name. We were made to call on it. Last thing, we treasure the name by carrying it to others. I mentioned Saul, who became Paul earlier. What did the Lord Jesus call him to do? Carry his name across the world. Carry his name to people who don't yet know the Lord Jesus. Why? So that they would call on his name and be saved. And then they would carry his name to other people. And that's happened all the way down the generations to us. Part of our responsibility to carry the name of Jesus is to carry it to others. He's not given us his name to hide away. It's a misuse of his name when we know him, but never speak about him. Treasure the name. The song that's been going through my mind this week that we'll sing in a moment is How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds in a Believer's Ear. One of the things that makes it beautiful is who wrote it. It was John Newton. He'd been a captain of a slave ship, and he records in one of his books that he'd been notorious for swearing with God's name. But the Lord Jesus had got a hold of him. And he'd been forgiven. And as a believer, he now read this commandment, not as a way to be condemned, but as the promise of saying, I want to treasure the name of Jesus. I want everyone else to treasure that name, because it's a beautiful name. And so one of the things he did was write this song. He lived to treasure the name that is above every other name. I hope and pray this morning that we've got some of that. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you've given us this commandment. And those of us who love the Lord Jesus are those who bear his name. We ask that we would stop and say, how's our driving? And if there's any reason that they would call it into question, please help us to change. Please forgive us. We are sorry. We want to be good name carriers of the Lord Jesus. We can't do it without his forgiveness and his love and his help. Please, would we treasure it today in our lives? In his name we pray. Amen.